Hello?
Yes?
Would you put Mr. Luce on now, please?
Hello?
We have the president.
Hello?
He's coming to the phone, sir.
No. Yes, Henry?
Hello, president? Have you seen the new issue of my February 25 issue with special section on Vietnam?
No, I saw an ad in the paper about it, but I haven't seen the magazine.
I'll get our office editor to get you over a couple of copies.
Fine, thank you.
The important thing is that it opens with a four-page statement, a special editorial signed by the editor-in-chief, Hedley Donovan, which not only supports your effort, but explains the positive, very good results that the winning of this war might have. The title of the editorial is Vietnam: The War Is Worth Winning.
Yeah. Good.
I think you'll like it. There is a criticism of your administration's explanation.
Yeah.
In part.
Yeah.
I would say to that the kind of thing which Donovan regrets that you haven't said is the kind of thing that an editor can say that perhaps you can't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Although it's a thing I myself have been working on it. Now, I had not, the reason I didn't refer to this when you called me an hour ago is I hadn't read it in final form.
Yeah.
I did mention that we had planned an editorial when the Fulbright business was over.
Yes.
And we will have that supporting the Donovan statement. But the Donovan statement is a major statement.
Yeah.
And if there's anything about it that you don't like, I hope you'll let me know.
No, I'm sure. I'll read it with a great deal of interest. I read Time after I talked to you this week, and I thought it was exceptionally helpful, and I thought it was very well done. I have a problem that I'm just a little bit addled about, and I like to have intelligent people, and I think objective people, and not necessarily just Johnson worshippers or people who are connected with decisions that are made to give me their judgments on, and I've tried to do that. Eisenhower started me off on my budget, and Bob Anderson's helped me with my balance payments, and I have other people in different areas, and I thought on the Asia thing that I could at least consider your thinking. Now, okay. We're developing a crisis in confidence in leadership here. I don't like to admit that, and I don't want to publicize that. I don't think it needs to be leaked, though. I think it's pretty evident that the position they're taking on the appropriations is that this is no approval and no expression of confidence in what we're doing.
Yeah.
Well, now, if it's not an expression of confidence in what we're doing, we oughtn't to be doing it if we don't have confidence in it.
Right.
And I don't think you can have your cake and eat it too. If what we're doing is not the wise thing to do, we ought to do something else. Now, it's the best thing that I know to do. And the constitutional advisors I have, the state, Secretary of State, Secretary of Defense, Undersecretary of Defense, very able New York lawyer Cy Vance and George Ball with a good deal of experience, and the Joint Chiefs and Lodge and Westmoreland all agree that this is the only policy, and they think they have brought Key along a good deal. And his speech yesterday, they feel like they're stuck in their thumb and pulled out a plum. They think that they're really doing that. But here in Washington, everybody is saying that this must not be interpreted as an expression of confidence.
Yeah.
Now, poor devil that you ordered to go over a hill and take a enemy position oughtn't to have any doubt about whether the country believes in what they're doing or whether the president believes it. And I don't know quite how to deal with that. I'm so personally involved. I don't like these snipers Morse. Morse has started this, but Bobby has guided him.
Oh, that's terrible, that Bobby.
Bobby is sniping from the sidelines, and he's been meeting.
More than that, he's throwing quite a few hand grenades.
Well, he's been meeting with them for a year, and Teddy had his name on the letter, but Bobby got him to take it off so he wouldn't surface it. But the New York Times this morning, you ought to read that story. This fellow Broder is a Republican that was with the Washington Star, but he's a good reporter. He's no friend of mine, but he's a pretty fair reporter, and they brought him off of the Washington Star. But he says these meetings have been going on for a year. I have known ever since the bill came up in the spring of 65 when Bobby made a speech that said that his vote for this bill must not be interpreted as his approval of this policy.
Yeah. This was a money bill?
Yes, this was a money bill in 65.
Yeah.
And it was the beginning of the dissension.
Yeah.
It brought in the McGoverns, and it started a little talk. Up to that time, they only had two, Morse and Greeny.
Yeah.
But this kicked it off, and what he's doing is playing a little politics 68. Now, he's a great admirer of Maxwell Taylor. Yeah. But Max Taylor tells me that he is determined to carve out a little position that is different and is to the left of the administration. Now, his position in...
Makes good sense.
His position...
The fact that he's from New York.
Yeah, his... Well, if his plan was
running from Ohio.
If his plan is good, though, and if I can force a solution on Key, if I can force the communist on Key in part, and if I can force Key on the communist, and if I have that kind of power, or he does, looks to me like the first place we ought to use it's on the new Democrats in New York.
I never thought of it that way. Yeah.
But can't...
You've got your own enclave here, your hostile enclave.
That's right, and I don't know how to breed a communist to another fella and make them submerge. I have a consensus.
I was quite impressed a couple of weeks ago when Jack Davis came out of the right side.
Yes, he did.
I'm told he's sort of backed away a little bit.
Well, the Times, you see, there's not many people. The Post is not... The Post supports us editorially here, but it doesn't. The reporters and the news articles don't support us, and the New York Times and Lippman, New York Times and Lippman are just giving us hell every day. And I'm surprised that Jock Whitney has kind of joined them with his reporters. I think that's Bobby's got the reporters here, but the Times and the Tribune and of course Javits is not insensitive.
No.
To what's going on.
Well, I gave him a little more credit for what he did say a couple of weeks ago.
I saluted him. But he's kind of moderating his position.
That's what I hear, yeah.
And the general problem is you're going to have that more and more. Then you've got a problem out there of 200,000 men. And you're going to be getting more requests. Now, do I approve them as a dictator by myself, or do I include these folks in on them, or what do I do?
Well, hell,
what would you do if you were President of the United States and Westmoreland asked you to give him 50,000 men between now and September in the light of your knowledge that a majority of the United States Senate is, quote, against escalation, unquote?
A majority, you say, is?
Well, I would say if you thought that.
Would you say that I would have to think that the majority of the United States Senate is against specifically sending... 50,000 men.
They won't say...
After all, the figure of that it might go up to 400,000 has been around for a long time. And maybe I'm just sort of quibbling here, but I would have thought that it had been understood that 200,000, if that's the figure at the moment, was not the current limit.
That is correct, but...
In prospect... An increase of a certain amount had been accepted.
Well, let's...
escalation might have to do with bombing Hanoi or going up to a million men.
No, they interpret escalation as any more than what we're doing.
You mean one more man?
Yes. Yes, I wouldn't say one more, but I would say a appreciable number. And I just used 50 as a hypothetical. It might be 200, it might be 20. But Gavin, you see, is Bobby's man.
Right, he turned out silly in my opinion.
Well, but he brought him down here. He made him ambassador to France.
And he didn't last very long.
No, we had to bring him back. But then he brought him in to me to put him in charge of the Olympic Games. And he is a very impetuous fellow that's frustrated and very upset with the world.
Well, he took back about what he said in that magazine. Didn't he?
Yeah, well, Max Taylor made him do that when he came out with a speech in New York.
Yeah.
But they brought him in here. But back to the big question. In the light of the disturbances and the distress and the great expressions of doubt, what does a man do that doesn't want to be a dictator, that just wants to do what's right?
Well, I mean, Mr. President, to answer your question, Westmoreland asked you for X number of more men, 50,000 now, maybe another 50,000 later, right? But if he asked you for them with good reason, which I'm sure he has, then I think you've got to give them to him. Now, the next question is, how do you do this with the maximum, to use the famous Johnson idea, with the maximum agreement, a consensus of the United States? Now, to tell you how to do that is like trying to tell my late grandmother to suck eggs.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how to do that in the political field. What I could venture an opinion on is that the high point of the argument and dissent may now have come or about come, and that after this point, at any rate, what we can say editorially will say is that there has not been anybody's going to cut off any debate, any public discussion at any time, right? But that in the fact there has now been a number of weeks or more or months. Wide public discussion, climaxed by the Senate hearings and so forth. So, okay, the majority of the people are in favor of going ahead with it. Now let's get down to business.
Mm.
This is an editorial point of view.
Mm, that's good. That's good.
Okay, I'll read the life, and you call me back when you feel free to do so, and let's exchange viewpoint.
Okay.
And don't discuss my call, I don't get. Thank you.
I will not. If you've got any suggestion how we can help, let me know.
I'll do it. Thank you.